The reading today is Psalm 4. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm of David. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O man, how long shall my honour be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please do sit down. I must admit it's a relief to take a mask off, that's for sure. Gives you a new appreciation of what doctors have to put up with them when they're in the operating theatres for hours, doesn't it? Okay, let's just open with a word of prayer, shall we? Lord, we really do give you thanks for your word. We thank you for the truths. We thank you for its encouragements. And we just pray, Lord, that as we look at it this evening, it may become very real to us. It may enrich our lives, and it may help us to live lives which please you better. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't think I really need to state the obvious. We are living in stressful times, aren't we? And if you think about it, yes, we have the COVID-19 pandemic, and people are naturally concerned about their health. I don't know about you, but I get a bit cross when I see pictures of people crowded on beaches, apparently ignoring the guidelines in the town centres where there are hordes of people. Then we have the Black Lives Matter campaign, and we've seen hordes of people chanting and tearing down statues in Bristol. And more widely, there's been an outburst of anger against racist behaviour, both past and present. There's fear and anger about potential job losses. And we've seen people getting stressed and angry about the way governments have introduced measures to cope with COVID. And President Trump certainly seems to be causing lots of angry protests. In fact, a while ago, I used to see how long the Burton Mail could go without telling us about some new fury. And you know, it wasn't very long. Each week seemed to bring along a new fury. So if you're feeling angry and stressed, then you're in the right place, because Psalm 4 is the place in which we need to be. If you look at there in verse 1, David is in distress. He's stressed. And stress often leads to anger, as we all know. You know, that short fuse gets lit, doesn't it? So what was he stressed or angry about? It may have been linked to Psalm 3, which we heard about last week, where his son Absalom was attacking him. But really, we don't know. There's nothing specific about that. So then, what then does King David do about it? Well, he prays, doesn't he? You can see there in verse 1. I call to you. And what's the result of his prayer? Well, quickly look down at verse 8 behind me. In peace, I will lie down and sleep. And you know, I'm sure that's what we'd all like to experience. So what led him there? Well, let's find out. So firstly, why does he pray? Well, look at verse 1. O God of my righteousness. What's that telling us? Well, it's telling us that he's in a relationship with God. God has given him the righteousness which enables him to pray. That means they are very close. You can't get any closer than that. And because of Jesus, we have that same closeness. We have a God to whom we can pray. In the next in verse 1, the NIV translates it, "Give me relief," but most other translations, as the one behind me, transcribe the original Hebrew as, "You have given me relief." So David has the experience of God having answered his prayers previously. It's good to pray because God answers prayer. And we so easily forget that, don't we? You know, one problem behind us and it's on to the next. And at the end of the verse we read, "Hear my prayer." God hears, he listens. Not because of how well I can speak. No, because he made us for himself. He loves us. He is gracious. He wants to listen to us. And isn't that an amazing thought? So then, having cried to God in verse 1, King David then turns and speaks to the people causing him distress. Distress, or stress as we'd say today. People who are angry at him. They're probably not listening, but it's good for us to listen as he teaches them about anger. Firstly, he identifies to whom their anger is directed and the nature of it. Notice in verse 2 there, "How long shall my honour be turned to shame?" People were trying to shame David, to belittle him, to bring him into disrepute. And this is God's appointed king we're talking about here. And people try to do exactly the same thing to Jesus, God's ultimate king. So it should come as no surprise to us that the world of the flesh and the devil should try to do the same thing to Jesus' people. Think about the increasing hostility we're witnessing to the church, with views on the sanctity of life, with views on human sexuality, to mention just a couple of issues. There are many more. People get angry with us. They ridicule. They try to shame us. So, why are they doing this? That's the big question really, isn't it? Well, verse 2 again. "How long will you love vain words and seek after lies?" What's wrong with your life, he is saying, is that you put yourself at the centre. When you get up in the morning, your day's all about chasing emptiness, nothing really. Now, people don't recognise that, of course. They'll tell you, "I'm trying to make the best of my life. I'm trying to fulfil my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions." But what King David, and indeed Jesus, our King, is telling us, is saying that if you are at the centre, you are pursuing emptiness, delusions, vain words, false gods, which can ultimately not bring you peace. In fact, they tend to come with the opposite. They tend to come with stress, which then leads to the anger. Then in verse 3, we have some information they need to know. They need to know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. And the Lord hears when I call to him. In the Old Testament, this represents David, who was in God's covenant love. And David was obviously a recipient of that. But we know that Jesus was the ultimate faithful servant. Jesus is the one who receives that love from his Father and shows that love to others, ultimately on the cross. And the mockers, the angry ones, they need to know that. They need to know that God has set the faithful servant apart for himself, to be in fellowship with God. The faithful servant can pray. The faithful servant can talk to God. And those who oppose Jesus and his people, they're opposing those who have been set apart by God. And if they continue to oppose, well, they will ultimately lose everything. And then we're given some instructions in verses 4 and 5. Be angry and do not sin. Now Paul quotes this in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, where he adds, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Anger does a lot of harm. And we all get angry from time to time. Anger destroys relationships. Anger brings hurt. Anger's destructive. And there have been many reports, haven't there, of anger issues and abuse during the lockdowns. Lots of families have been under enormous pressure. So how are we to cope with it? Well, in verse 4 it says there, when you are on your beds, ponder your hearts and be silent. It's a bit like a parent saying to a child, isn't it? Take some time out. Go to your bedroom, think quietly. Cut yourself off from social media, because one way to ensure that you get even more angry is to consult or share on social media. Think carefully and calm down. Do not let your anger shape your actions. Then in verse 5, he tells us that we basically need to forgive and seek forgiveness. Sacrifices were made for forgiveness through the death of a substitute, ultimately the death of the Lord Jesus. And that is where we are to put our trust. That is whom we should follow. He was the ultimate example of how to live the Christian life. Yes, as Christians we belong to Christ, but there's a warning here for us. We need to make sure that we do not try to follow delusions and false gods, as the NIV puts it, or vain words and lies. It's easy to slip into that, isn't it? To want what those around us want. To want what the media is telling us we should want. And if we begin to seek those delusions, then it will lead to stress, to frustration, and ultimately anger. Then we get back in verses 6 to 8 to David praying to God. And King David here is showing us how he lives with God at the center of his life. He does not chase vain words or seek after lies. And that brings him joy and peace. Look at verse 6 there. It's a question of today, isn't it? Who will show us some good? In other words, who will bring us all the good things in life? You know, a safe job, a happy family, good food and wine, a nice home. This question seems to be the question of those who are saying, you know, I want all those good things in life without the God who gives them. And it's a question certainly that's been asked today, isn't it? The COVID virus, yes, has made things very difficult, and life will probably go on being difficult for some time yet. It's a natural question. It's what everybody outside is asking. It's the question of unbelievers. David then begins to show them the difference knowing God makes to him. He starts by recording a blessing that God told to Moses to pass on to his people. It says, lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. And you can find that in Numbers 7. When you belong to God, when you put God at the center of your life, you are richly blessed. And David shows what the result of that blessing is in verse 7. Those wonderful words, isn't it? More joy. Ask, says Jesus in John 16, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. David is saying in this verse that you, God, have put more joy in my heart than they have, those who are trying to destroy him, than they have when their grain and wine abound. In other words, when they have all the good things they desire, you know, things like friendship, intimacy, travels, holidays, beauty, everything you like about life. Now we all cheer up when we have these good things. It's natural and there's nothing wrong with them. But David is saying, even when he was under enormous pressure, there was something much, much better. The joy of knowing God. Jesus also knew that joy. He had nothing. Not even a place to lay his head. He was poor. He was being attacked. But in Luke 10, he rejoices in the Holy Spirit. He knew the joy that only his Father could give. And if you belong to the Lord Jesus, he has promised you more joy. Jesus says to those who follow him, because of what he did on the cross, we can walk in fellowship with Jesus and his Heavenly Father. When we look to them, when we rejoice in them, when we love them, there is joy that is possible even in the midst of struggles and suffering. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing? You know, but we can't just jump into this psalm at verse 7. We have to travel through it. We have to know the rebuke of verse 2. How long do you love vain words and seek after lies? We need to know that verse 3 says that the godly one is set apart and can pray. And we need to listen to the instructions of verses 4 and 5. We need to go through that process. And some of us need to discover, maybe painfully, that some of the things we seek in life are ultimately not going to bring us the satisfaction, the joy, the happiness that we long for. So from the anger of verse 1, we arrive at the peace of verse 8. In peace, we will be able to lie down and sleep. Why? Because you alone make me dwell in safety. So if you're feeling stressed, angry, or het up about something this evening, this psalm is for you. In fact, it's a psalm that all of us need to remember, because we all from time to time get stressed, het up, and angry. It's telling us to make God the center of our lives. Make seeking his will through his word for you the main aim of your life. Make time to pray for him every day. Then you will know a joy and a peace which nothing else can bring. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the joy that you want each one of us to experience. Help us through the power of your Spirit to put aside those distractions, to put aside those vain words, to put aside those selfish goals. Help us to focus on you and your gospel. May we embrace it totally. And through that, Lord, may we truly know that joy which only you can bring. For we ask it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.